Hi, and welcome to Mouse Chat. I'm Lisa, and joining me today, I've got Sharpie, Chris, Lauren, and Steve.
Hello.
So, on today's show, we're going to be talking about Fast Passes. Let's just get the ball rolling. We're going to start with the Magic Kingdom, and we're going to be discussing tips, favorite attractions to use the Fast Pass on, and anything that comes to mind. So, there are five of us. There are four parks. We broke up the Magic Kingdom because it is a very large park with many attractions. We broke it into two sections, big kids and little kids. And Lauren, you want to hit the big kids first?
Oh, sure.
I mean, don't hit them. That would be bad. You can get in trouble for that.
Well, you take all the fun out of everything, Lisa.
I do, just to keep things safe.
So for big kids, if they are adventurous, I would highly recommend, of course, Seven Dwarfs Mine Train. I would recommend Space Mountain, and I would recommend Big Thunder Mountain. If they're not so adventurous, I would still recommend Seven Dwarfs and probably Peter Pan and Buzz Lightyear. Yeah.
So you get...
So, depending on how adventurous they are.
You get three Fast Passes, right, per park? Is that still the case? Because I know for a little while there was a mysterious fourth that showed up. But
yeah, that didn't last long.
Okay. So you get three Fast Passes per day. Some of the other general things. You can book, is it it's 60 days out if you're staying at a Disney...
On-site.
Yeah, Disney Resort on-site. And then 30 days if you're staying off-site.
Or at home.
Yeah, or I guess
that would be offsite
or annual pass holder. Or, so it's definitely an advantage to stay on site because you get to book. Now, you didn't say Anna and Elsa. Are they still at Magic Kingdom?
They are, but I wouldn't book that for a big kid.
That's true.
Unless they are
lonely.
Really,
it would be an exception.
Characters. Yeah, it would be your average person. Your big kids are going to be looking at the big thrill rides.
Unless you're a Disney nerd.
Yeah, Steve, remember that time you were begging us to get you a
I was like, come on. Anna and Elsa.
I just want my picture taken.
Now, I had heard, and you guys are the experts, I don't know. So, I had heard for Anna and Elsa that the only way to even see it was FastPass, that there wasn't even standby. Is that correct?
No, there is.
Okay, so there is a standby still.
It's like 120 minutes, but yeah, there is.
Okay.
Yeah, but if you can't, people just really want Anna and Elsa. And if you can't get a fast pass for it, get to the park before rope drop, get there first thing, go straight to Anna and Elsa, and you can't possibly have more than a 30-minute wait. First thing, don't you think?
I would say it probably goes from no wait to 60 minutes very quickly.
I'm sure it does, but if you're there at rope drop, I don't think it's going to be that bad.
And sometimes... They even have cast members out directing traffic to the lines for people to get in line for Mine Train and for Anna and Elsa.
Well, they have you stand to the left if you want to go to those rides.
Yeah.
Those attractions.
Oh, is that what, so how does that work?
Yeah. And they actually take the rope directly to the attraction and then they let you go.
Oh, that's nice. So if you're there for rope drop, you can get in one of these like three lines and then they'll lead you down to that. So you're not running down to Mine Train or whatever.
Right. You can't. You're behind the rope.
Well, it's controlled. Nice. It's controlled. Very good controlled.
Well, that's nice. So you're like in the line before the park even opens for certain attractions.
Once they messy release mob. It, it's still a free for all to get.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. You're not. It's not like they give you numbers.
Okay.
So, it's good though.
Very cool.
Okay. Let's go to Chris with the little kids.
Okay, so
Magic
like
Kingdom.
Sorry. Like Lauren, I divided mine into kids who are more adventurous and kids who were sissies. I'm sorry. Let me start over because that's not very nice. and may
to
I
kids
say
kids who are like Chris Wood?
Yeah, I was gonna say you can say that because you fall in that category, kind of.
I do actually. Although I did do Space Mountain willingly in July. I would like to remind everyone of that at least once a month. But I'm a sissy. I'm a wimp. I'm a ride wimp. And I really don't feel...
I can attest to that.
Yeah, I don't feel the need to be whipped around on a roller coaster or something. However, I will do it occasionally to indulge people. So my kids have inherited that, unfortunately. And Eric and Thomas are pretty good, but my daughter Sophie, she's really the worst. Like, she'll put on a fuss like Dumbo if she, you know, on the wrong kind of day. But anyway, so I would say if your kids are ride chickens, like mine used to be when they were really little, you always want Peter Pan. Peter Pan is always going to have a line because it's accessible to the vast majority of guests. There's almost no one who can't go on Peter Pan. And, you know, there's that nostalgia factor. It's kind of fun.
Wait, I have trouble with Peter Pan. Peter Pan is tough.
Really?
No.
Why do you think that's a difficult ride?
You know what? Some people don't like heights, right? And there's a little bit of a height factor, and it looks taller than it is. And so
I agree.
You know, I could see that.
But, you know,
go ahead.
It's scary.
Along the lines of Peter Pan, my mind goes there, and I think we've talked about this before. Doing an emergency evacuation on that ride would be a nightmare.
Yeah.
Well, they tug them in to the.
Yeah.
I'm not positive, but I think they have a hand crank system on that attraction.
You know what?
That advances the cars.
They shoot them down, and it's horrible.
They bring out Captain Hook to shoot them down with hands.
Yeah. And
you hope to avoid the croc.
All right. So, Peter Pan, what else?
So, Peter Pan. And then I'm thinking a fast pass for the fireworks. And I am personally not a big fan of doing this and wasting a fast pass. But if you have little kids, it can get a little crazy, especially during the busier months. So having that fast pass for preferred viewing, I think, is kind of nice. And, you know, just make sure those aren't also the kind of kids who are going to get a little scared by the fireworks. Because if they're timid with some things, they might also be timid with the fireworks. And finally, if you have boys or if you have girls, maybe the Anna and Elsa meet and greet. And if your boys don't care, which my boys could care less, Winnie the Pooh quite often has a long line. Or Tomorrowland Speedway is a lot of fun for little kids. And the line is horrible because it's really
slow.
Hot. Yeah. Yeah, and there's no shade really, and it's smelly. It's really smelly. Those fumes
are exhausting.
Horrible. It is exhausting.
Thank you. It is.
Yes. And there's one.
There's one.
Yes.
Oh.
Yes. Limit.
All right. So everybody has to take a drink has to do a shot every time.
Okay. Wait. I got my drink.
Lauren's playing.
I know. Lauren's playing alone.
Yeah.
I'm playing alone, of course.
Well, you know what, Lauren? No one else has wine, so you have to do four more.
That's okay.
Yeah.
You know what? We may want to get to the top to the next topic then before then.
I know.
I may not make it.
Now, you said the fireworks. Now, it works. The fast passes work where you can get an additional fast pass or additional fast passes after the third one's used. Is that still the way it works?
Yes.
So, with doing the fireworks at night, you can only get the three fast passes.
That is such a good, well thought out question, Steve.
Do you think?
I'm actually surprised that you asked it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I think, and if you haven't used that third fast pass, you're not getting one.
That is
you're
correct.
Not getting that.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, right. But then, so you can't get another fast pass. But then, is it worth, you know, doing three and then getting a fourth fast pass? Or
no.
I mean, my experience is that they're pretty limited
they
choices
are.
By the time you get to your
something
fourth.
Like, hey, PhilharMagic.
Yeah, good, that you don't need one.
Well, not
yeah.
only that, then you also go, hey, look at the line for the kiosk. It's a 30-minute wait.
Yeah.
I know. And isn't
yeah,
that...
can I get a fast pass for the fast pass kiosk, please?
Right. That's the worst. So I agree. I don't think it's worth it. Having said that,
can I know. Say one thing, though, just a counter? Because, mm-hmm. you know, I love to bicker with Chris. It's fun.
Yes.
So my thought process, unless you don't like attractions, really, you're not really, you're just going for like experiences and things like that. I don't generally recommend the fireworks unless you're in that situation. Because I feel like there's so many attractions with long wait times there that it becomes an issue.
Yeah. Now what about, would you get a fast pass for the parade over fireworks? Or do you?
No, maybe. Well, again, I think it really depends on
the person. Yeah.
If you have little kids and they're kind of afraid of rides and attractions, there's just a set number of attractions that they can do. They can go on Dumbo, no problem. They can go on Aladdin, no problem. They can go on It's a Small World. So why but if your kids are little, you know, and you guys, it wasn't so long ago that, you know, me and the Griswolds had pretty little ones in strollers. It's kind of a pain to get to see the parade or anything when they're in strollers. If they're older, it's a whole different issue. But I think when they're little, yeah, I would get it. Now, I might get the fireworks over the parade, though, but I don't like the parade.
Now, and here's another question.
I would do the parade over it.
Now, can you do the parade and stay in that spot for the fireworks, or is that get
yes, clear? If you could stay there all day.
Really?
Here's the thing. The parade viewing is in Town Square.
Okay.
The fireworks viewing is the new, like, manicured area that is just off the hub with the fountains and the AstroTurf and all that stuff. See, and I have a problem with that because whenever they used to do the parade viewing in the hub, that was incredible, absolutely incredible viewing, not only for the parade, but also for the fireworks. So once they took the ropes down, you could stay exactly where you were, have a great place to watch the fireworks after you finish watching the parade. Now it's in two different locations, and the parade viewing in Town Square is actually kind of hard to get in and out of, and it has very limited really good seating location or standing or viewing location. We did it this summer because we went into the park just for the evening. So we used a fast pass for the parade and a fast pass for the fireworks because we were just going to be in there for the evening.
Uh-huh.
And the parade viewing honestly isn't that great. Whenever we had used the fast pass before, it was right in front of the castle, you had a really, really good view of the parade. You were right on top of it. Great place for pictures. But now Town Square, not so great.
Okay.
I think it's a really good parade, but I think there are so many good spots to view it. I'm not as concerned about that.
That's true, because we would go over to like Frontierland, and you can
it's a pretty good spot.
It's pretty empty over there, and you can get a spot later.
They should have a spot where you don't have kids on top of shoulders.
Ugh.
Yeah,
that would be a real. I would pay for that spot.
I know.
Because the worst thing is when you think, "Wow, this is a great spot," and then the guy in front of you picks up his kid, puts him on the shoulder, and then gives him the iPad.
That's what I was just going to say.
That is awful. iPads are not meant for photography.
I know.
I think it's ridiculous to see people taking photos in the parks with an iPad.
I think it's
if we have listeners who do that, but I think you're looking ridiculous when you do it.
Well, they have a bigger iPad coming out.
Do that? You're rude.
Great. The billboard sized iPad.
They have like the boombox size iPad coming out.
Got to carry it on your shoulder.
Yeah, pretty much.
That's kind of where we are already, almost.
Yes.
I think I'm going to go back to the topic for little kids real quick.
Yes.
If you have kids, I think, who are more adventurous, I would do Seven Dwarfs Mine Train. I would probably do Splash Mountain. It's a pretty easy ride, except for that last drop. And you know, again, Anna and Elsa, if they're, you know, girls. And I really like the idea of not having to wait again for Tomorrowland Speedway. But I think you have a lot more flexibility when you have kids who are a little more adventurous. So,
okay, so there are so many different ways that you can play your fast passes. It's going to depend on the ages of your children, the heights of your children, whether you have children or not, if you're an all-day park goer, if you're a park hopper. Which we should talk about park hoppers in just a little bit. There's so much more than what are your favorite rides and what's the best value for, you know, best usage of them. And if, I mean, obviously you all know that Chris, Lauren, and Sharpie are all travel agents with Pixie Vacations. This is why using one of them would be a great advantage to you, because they're going to help you figure out it's not all about the best rides. It's the best rides, the best schedule, the best accommodations for your family. And they're going to walk you through that. So it's more complicated than it seems on the surface. Okay. So Madam Wong, have you completed your Little Kids in the Magic Kingdom?
I have. I mean, I think the little kid one is pretty basic, you know. I mean, as long as you get Peter Pan in and you're Anna and Elsa, everything else is, you know, what your preference is.
And, you know, Brooke just turned six, and I consider her a little kid, but
she is a little kid.
So I don't think any of your plans are really going to work for her. And that's why it needs to be so individualized, because if she had it her way, she would do. Is she tall enough for Space Mountain?
Has she been on it? I don't think she's been on it yet.
No, she wasn't tall enough.
I don't think she's tall enough for space. She's done Thunder, loves Thunder. She does Mine Train, loves that. And
she loves Scary Hotel.
Well, but we're talking Magic Kingdom. She does love Tower of Terror, loves Tower of Terror. So she does the big kid rides. So, you know, she's the exception. And so if you read some online blog or recommendation for kids that are six, they're going to say Dumbo and Peter Pan and Anna and Elsa. That is so not going to fit her.
No.
So.
No, and I was thinking about that while I was saying it, because there are kids like Brooke who are more adventurous, but...
And you're going to have some that don't want to do... You know, ones that you said were pretty okay. I mean, it's a dark ride. I mean, Peter Pan's a dark ride.
One thing that surprises me is how many parents say their kids won't go on Seven Dwarfs.
Mm-hmm.
So... You know, and you're talking like 6 and 7 years. Well, but I think if the kids aren't used to going to theme parks and stuff like that, you know, it is kind of a little intimidating with a couple of drops. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think it's got a couple places where you're woohooing.
Yeah, it's an awesome ride.
Yeah. All right. I'm going to grab the floor next and do Hollywood Studios, Disney Hollywood Studios. And this one is interesting because there's not a whole lot available.
Gave you the bad one.
Yeah, I by
there's not much left.
No, and Hollywood Studios does it in a different way than the Magic Kingdom. Magic Kingdom, everything is all considered the same. At Hollywood Studios, they have two categories. You have your Group A and your Group B, and you get to choose one attraction from Group A and two from Group B. So your Group A attractions, you've got, and I don't even know which ones are still even open. You've got Beauty and the Beast. You've got the Great Movie Ride. Fantasmic, preferred, you know, seating. Make sure you get into that. Rock and Roller Coaster and Toy Story Midway Mania. Those are all available, which is great. My choice, I guess the line that I would not want to wait in would be Toy Story Midway Mania.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't care so much about that, that line fills up so quickly and the line gets long, long, long.
60, 70, 80, 90 minutes on a very, very regular basis.
Triple digits on a regular basis.
Within moments, too.
Yeah. And the fast passes go probably the quickest in the entire park.
Yeah, absolutely.
They're the hottest ticket, and it's a great ride, so it's justified in my mind.
Now, the Star Wars Jedi Academy is not in Group A. That's interesting.
Mm-mm.
It's not. Well, that's not Jedi Training
Academy.
Or is
that even not even? Or is that not even Fast Pass?
No, it's a walk up.
Oh, still okay. Good.
Yeah,
it's more of a show, and the capacity is pretty limited.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if that's going to change when they come back with it, though.
I don't know. So that would be my first choice. But again, this is all going to change based on your needs, the way you play your park, whether you have a hopper or not, because Fantasmic is a great show. And if you want a guaranteed spot for that, getting that fast pass might be a good idea and in your best interest. Also depends on how many days you're going to Hollywood Studios, because then you can split it into two. And after this, I want to talk about times. I guess that would work in with our hopper explanation. So... I'm going to make a note that we're going to talk about times and we're going to talk about the hopper. All right. Group B, you've got Disney Junior Live on Stage. That's a show. I don't think that that's worthy of a fast pass in any circumstance ever. And then Indiana Jones. No. My vote goes to Tower of Terror, Twilight Zone Tower of Terror. Honestly, looking at these between the shows.
What about, does Star Tours has a fast pass or not?
Yeah. Yes. Star Tours isn't a bad pick.
I would do Star Tours.
Star Tours and Tower of Terror.
And I would use Tower of Terror as your second level. And as your first, I would do Toy Story.
You know what else I would do?
Mm-hmm.
You know what it sounds like? It sounds like you just said, you know what Elsa would do?
Frozen sing along.
That's what it sounded like. I'm sorry.
That's what I would do. I would do the Frozen sing along.
Oh, there's a Frozen sing along.
Over Star Tours, if they're into Frozen, because that one has, you know, the standby, you don't always get in.
Yeah, limited shows, too.
Right.
Now, here's a question on just overall on Fast Passes. So, would you book these? What's your strategy for time of day to book your Fast Passes? Do you want to book them so they all are first thing in the morning? Do you want to book them in the afternoon?
Can we talk about that when we're done with all the parks, please?
Yeah, we can do it later.
Sorry. I want to talk about that as a separate subject.
Can I throw something else in?
Mm-hmm.
For Hollywood Studios?
Yes.
If you have big kids that want to ride both Toy Story and Rock and Roller Coaster, and I stress that they need to be big kids because you don't really want to put them on this without that, but I always recommend to clients that they do Toy Story Fast Pass and do Rock and Roller Coaster for a standby line, because if they have big kids, they can do single rider, and it's usually only a 10 to 15 minute wait on single rider.
Yeah, single rider is awesome on that attraction.
So it's not usually a long wait. So it's usually a good pick for a standby if you need to do one.
And it's a good pick to do first ride of the day.
Exactly.
You know, if you go straight to Rock and Roller Coaster, Lauren loves that ride.
I do.
I do too.
It's awesome. So smooth. So incredible. So if you do that first ride of the day, you could have a 30-minute wait. It's probably similar to Anna and Elsa, where if you get there quick, anywhere from 5 minutes to probably 40 minutes if you went straight there.
Yep.
But that's going to be better than the hour wait that you have later.
Exactly.
I think that works. All right. So, yeah, that was a very sloppy summary of what I would do at Hollywood Studios. Toy Story Midway Mania. Maybe make your first ride of the day Rock and Roller Coaster starring Aerosmith. And then we'll go with Star Tours and Twilight Zone Tower of Terror.
Now, you wouldn't fast pass any, like, you wouldn't want a priority seating for Beauty and the Beast?
No.
I wouldn't.
No.
I don't think you need it.
No.
A lot of people ask me about that.
Here's the thing, though. If you have little kids, there really aren't many things. I'm talking in the age ranges of like 3 to 5, 3 to 6. Beauty and the Beast, and especially if you're going in the heat of summer, it's not really a bad use of a fast pass, because we got to Beauty and the Beast probably 15 minutes before showtime, and the only seating was left was directly in the sun. So, I mean, it's not bad because you're guaranteed covered seating. So, I mean, it's especially if you have young kids, it's not a bad choice, especially since there really aren't many things in that park for young children to do.
Yeah, but you can still do Toy Story with the 3 to 5 year old, the Frozen sing along with the 3 to 5 year old, Disney Junior with the 3 to 5 year old, and I think those are going to be better uses of a fast pass over Beauty and the Beast, even if you're sitting in the sun.
But I don't know. But everyone at Disney Junior on live on stage gets in. I mean,
yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
I do have to say, though, that it's pretty packed, and it's nice if the kids could get to the front. I don't know. I mean,
I always feel like I'm getting ripped off when I use a fast pass for any show.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh, even you got a fast pass? Yeah, just come on in. Here you go.
You know, it'd be nice.
I will say I have waited with the twins, you know, one whole show. I've been in line and not gotten in. So,
I think it depends.
Depends on how busy it is. And that's kind of like, for a while there, that was like a really big one for my kids. So
I think it would be nice to just once in my life get to a show where I am front and center. I have never been in one of the good seats for a show, because I'm not going to waste that half hour sitting there or waiting in line for the gate to open. It just doesn't work for me, but it'd be nice.
I remember when we went to see Nemo with you guys, we had really good seats for Nemo. We were in the first row in the second section back, which is actually great because
that
you
was
the
good
full view.
Yeah.
We were pretty center on that. Seats. How did that happen?
I don't know. We were just kind of lucky on that one because we didn't have fast passes. It was we were in line.
Yeah, that was a good. That's a good spot.
All right, so there was one freak of nature that happened.
Yes.
Did you just call me a freak of nature?
I thought she started to say freak and something, and I was like, "Go, Lisa."
No. Okay, so let's go over to Sharpie Animal Kingdom.
Here Animal come Kingdom. The puns.
Oh, no. Come on. Okay, so the fast pass list for Animal Kingdom is Dinosaur, Expedition Everest, Festival of the Lion King, Nemo, Tough to Be a Bug, Cali River Rapids, Kilimanjaro Safaris, the Adventures Outpost, which is the character meet and greet in Animal Kingdom, and Primeval World. Out of Lauren's all favorite. Of those, the suggestions that I would make if you're an adult party, teenager party, would likely be Kilimanjaro Safari first thing in the morning. Mm-hmm. That would be my first suggestion. And then Expedition Everest. And then a few different options that I would suggest for different party types. If you are adults and every no one gets too scared on rides, Dinosaur isn't a bad use. It Dinosaur can be a little scary, a little rough.
It kind of whips you around, yeah.
It does, yeah.
It terrifies me.
Does it really? Good to know.
You've gotten me twice on that this evening.
Well, I'm kind of having fun tonight. I'm not going to lie.
You are. I feel like I'm the one that's been drinking wine. Maybe I'm a little slow in the uptake this evening. You've got me twice on this. I'm like, really? You don't like dinosaurs?
Really? You don't like dinosaurs? Really?
Oh, gosh.
Don't you think dinosaur is the one that hurts your back, though? Like
it does. It tosses you around. Yeah. And the seats are not conducive to and the on the ride warnings, it even says if you have back problems, that it's not a good choice. Not it's not really the attraction for you.
I can attest to that.
Yeah. And then another one is Cali River Rapids. The line for Cali River Rapids can be very, very, very long in the hot summer months, early spring, early fall. It's practically a walk on in quite a few of the winter-ish weeks.
I wonder why.
That Orlando is a little on the cold side, but you really, really get wet on that attraction for the most part. I've actually left that attraction pretty dry before, but for the most part, you're bound to get wet. The character meet and greet Animal Kingdom, unless you really, really, really want to get a picture with the characters in their safari gear, I wouldn't fast pass that myself. Primeval World, you have to have I'm thinking right here, I think Primeval World is actually one of the tallest
it is
height requirements in all of the four theme parks. You have to be pretty tall to ride that one, so even though it's kind of a mild coaster, the ride vehicles are not conducive to the shorter guests. Then two shows that I really, we like using fast passes for, Festival of the Lion King and Nemo. Once again, if you don't mind waiting outside, if you can keep your kids entertained while you're outside, then by all means, skip that in terms of using a fast pass. But we really like being able to go in before the show, before they have loaded the building, and being able to kind of choose your seats for the most part. And the attraction loading area for Nemo is definitely out in the sun. Festival of the Lion King, there are some shaded areas there, so that's not too awfully bad. Definitely Expedition Everest, definitely use a fast pass for that because the wait time can be really, really long for it. And then also with Kilimanjaro Safaris, you're looking at 60, 90-minute wait on the average day. Mm-hmm. So... because that's a pretty slow loading attraction, and it's not really, really high volume per se.
Yeah, there's a lot more things there that are decent attractions that I forgot about.
Which whenever you look at it, people don't like Animal Kingdom, but look at all the great attractions that And there's not a tier system. I hate the tier system at Epcot and Hollywood Studios.
Yeah.
Because they really don't have enough attractions.
Absolutely true. All right. So speaking of Epcot, Steve.
Yeah. So Epcot has, like Sharpie was saying, has the tiered system and similar to Hollywood Studios. So there are your best two attractions. You can pick one or the other in the A category. So you can either do Soarin' or Test Track. One or the other. Of course, Soarin' is going down because they're adding additional screens and they're updating the screens that they have in the area. So they have...
Finally, they're replacing the projection.
I know.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, I'm going to miss that big scratch in the middle.
We've been watching dryer lint and hair and errant eyelashes.
Dryer lint?
Well, they have, and they're going to, and I believe they're premiering the new film when it opens up, which
they
is Soarin' Around the World.
The world.
Yeah, so Soarin' Around the World.
Bob will be happy.
Yeah, so it's going to be down in Disney World from January through August for Soarin'. So you'll have one A-list attraction, which will be Test Track. And Test Track also has a single rider line, which is nice to use if you can do that. And then your B categories are very tough because... None of these are really my favorites. Turtle Talk with Crush seems to book up fast. Mm-hmm. Then everything in the Imagination Pavilion, I would consider a waste of a fast pass. I mean, they actually have a fast
Absolutely.
Pass. Yeah. Captain EO has a fast pass. Which,
seriously?
Yeah, which I saw last time I was there.
I don't know if Captain EO needs a fast pass in 1986.
No. I've seen people outside, cast members outside, paying people to come into that theater.
I know.
I want to see that again.
Disney gift cards.
Here's a drink, cold beverage. Come on in.
I want to do that next time.
Yes.
It'll be very nostalgic for me.
No way.
It's not gone.
I cannot watch it. I hate it. 3D is so low tech. It gives me a headache almost instantly.
Sharpie.
It's horrible. Mm-hmm.
It is.
Do you know what? To me, the biggest waste of it, I would rather waste a fast pass on EO than Nemo. Because Nemo works it so fast.
That's true.
It's like the longest queue ever. Like
it
they
is.
Were really thinking mm-hmm. it was going to be something, and then there's it's like a ghost town.
Well, yeah. Wait, the best was, do you remember the time that we were, I think it was, I was with you guys, and we were getting on Nemo. And we had it was when the fast pass system just opened up and we had passes for it. And we were with other people who were going standby. And they beat us.
Yeah, the queue.
They were ahead of us in line.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. That queue line goes on forever. And then the only other ones. So, and you can get one for, of course, for Spaceship Earth, which seems to have now. A wait.
That's
early.
Not a bad wait, use of one now.
Yeah, it used to never have a wait, and early in the morning
it's
the first person.
I don't know how that happens.
Now it seems to have a wait, so that's the big ball.
Oh, it's kind of a joke. Yeah. I love Spaceship Earth. I could go on there like
that's
five times a day. I know. It's kind of comfortable and fun, and I find Judi Dench soothing, but she is.
You need a relaxation track with
I do, right?
Judi Dench.
It's awesome, but anyway. You know, you go in there and it's like, why is there such a long line? I will say it moves really fast, though.
Yeah, it's a continuous
it's very
load,
continuous.
So it's nice.
It's like TTA.
And then hopefully 2016, Arendelle over at Norway will be opening up.
Do we know when that's opening?
I don't know when 2016, but there's a meet and greet and then there's also the boat ride. And I have to figure that both of those are going to be on the FastPass system. And at least one or both will be on the tier A if they keep it set up that way.
So I just have to say, you know, just like I did with Seven Dwarfs, right? I got really like weird and obsessive about mm-hmm. when it was going to open. So when that ride in Epcot opens, mm-hmm. pretty sure I'm going down the next day. I've already told my husband, look, getting in the car and I'm going. So
I think you should pick me
up. Be prepared.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that'll be a nice addition to a high fat, and the kids are going to love it, so it's going to definitely have an hour, 2 hour.
I'm so sick of that
I mean,
song.
They just need to let it go already.
I know,
seriously.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm kind of over it, but I don't think the kids will be over it for another 5, 10, 20 years.
No, they're never going
like
to get over it.
Do you think we're
going to
see an era of frozen weddings in in 20 years.
No, because you're not really seeing Cinderella weddings, are you?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, you do.
Where?
With a carriage?
Oh, well, that. But I'm not saying, you know, you can see girls that are dressed up.
There's that.
You know, I
there is the whole princess wedding gig right now. It's
no, I, you know,
there's a whole boutique line with Disney's wedding chapel with
yeah, but those are just kind of inspired. They don't really, like, if you told me this is the Elsa dress, I'd be like, whatever, I can't even tell, you know. And I don't know,
I've got to really give it to Norway because they've got that awesome breakfast with the characters, the princesses.
I wonder if that's going to have Anna and Elsa added to it eventually.
I bet no.
It would make sense.
It would make sense to keep them separate.
No, it would make sense to add them.
No.
It would make sense to add it.
I don't know.
I would think it would make sense to add it as well.
Yeah, breakfast with Anna and Elsa.
Only because of the location.
Yeah.
People would, like, go bonkers.
Mm-hmm. If they were going to do it, they would have done it already. Well, I guess when Arendelle comes.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I don't know, but I think it would be smarter for them to not do it, and that way they split it off into two. You want the character breakfast, great. If you want to meet Anna and Elsa, you need to go over here and, I don't know, maybe they have a schnitzel. No, that'd be Germany. They have some sort of Danish snack meet and greet.
See, you know what? We don't even know what they serve in Norway, even though we went there, because all we had were the
school
taco
bread
burgers.
We had the school bread thing.
And the taco burgers.
What was that? The muffin thing we had. Was it school bread? Yeah.
Which was not good. It tasted exactly like it tastes in Epcot, which is not good.
See, they got it right.
But I was going to point out that I think Norway is going to become very popular, obviously, with that, but they just got it all going on. They've got Arendelle coming. They've got the princess character meal. They've got all the cute cast members. The boys and girls are adorable in there.
I agree.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So,
my vote goes for Italy for that. I'm just saying.
So why do you say Italy?
Oh, because they're just so nice. Like, every time someone brings me my pizza in Via Napoli, and they're the crappiest waiter I've ever had in my life, they're so polite about being a bad waiter. So my vote goes for Italy.
Nice.
Just saying.
So basically what Chris is saying
is the pizza is awesome.
Is that no matter how badly you treat her, if you say it nicely, it's okay.
You know what? It kind of is. Because, like, the last time I went there in September, I went there with the kids. It was just me and the three of them. And our service was terrible. And I said something, and Eric said, "It's always bad here. The service is always bad here." And I'm like, "I know, but they're so nice." And they are. They're polite about it. They smile the whole time.
"We're so sorry you're having a terrible experience."
It's
and those
good
accents.
"Here, have some wine."
Yes.
Well, see, that would work with Lauren. Deal with me.
Just refill my Diet Coke and give me extra pepperoni. I'm good.
And extra ice. Hello.
Yeah, seriously. Yeah. I'm so complaining about that.
Okay, so we've gone through all the parks. What I would like to do is talk about how you would plan for what times do you want to get these fast passes. And I've got a couple of theories for these. You know what? I'm going to start with it. I'm going to go with it. I think if you are a rope drop person and you're going to be there first thing, your rides are not going to be busy first thing in the day. And I think rides are going to be busiest from noon to 5 and past that. So I think that's the best time to get your fast passes, because you can stand in line until then. And then even later in the evening, standby lines aren't horrible. So get your fast passes probably between, if I opened it up, between 11 and 8. You really don't want a fast pass after that unless you're desperate to get on Mine Train or something like that.
I always say get them. I tell people get them between like 11 and 2 or 3.
Yeah, that's when it seems to be the crazy.
Yeah. Because it is kind of nutty. And then you leave after 3 o'clock. You go hang out. You maybe have dinner, enjoy the pool, and then come back at night. Because what always ends up happening, especially if the park's open late, well, it doesn't happen at all if the park's not open late. But, you know, parents with little kids start clearing out around 8 o'clock. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah. And I think you would need a different game plan if you planned on park hopping. Or if you planned on using one of your fast passes for an evening event. One of the spectaculars, parade or fireworks. You need to play the cards differently.
Yeah, it all depends on how you're going to plan your day. Because you really have to think about fast passes in terms of planning your whole day, where with the old system with the kiosks, you didn't have to do that.
Mm-mm. Yeah, you really didn't.
And then your dining reservations. Dining reservations are going to come into play.
You have to plan a great day, and then it may or may not happen.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, the only reason I would say do an early morning fast pass, like, it really depends. Like, if you're in Animal Kingdom and you have a reservation at, let's say, 9 o'clock for Tusker House, I'm going to suggest to you to do the safari at, like, between 10 and 11.
Yeah, we always, yeah, that's...
So you're
that's
not running around.
Yeah.
You know?
We better be careful, Larm. We're giving away all of our secrets for our clients.
I know.
Gosh.
I know.
No, and like, I do have to agree that having, I think the one exception is Kilimanjaro Safari, mm-hmm. that
it's better in the morning.
You want it in the morning because the animals are livelier and it's not as hot. They're up and fresh and ready to go. That would be.
It's really
exception.
Cool to see all the animals out and about and making their way to the hidden feeding stations.
Now,
yes,
would you, if you're staying on property and it's an extra magic hours day, would you do extra magic hours and then without fast passes and then do fast passes in that park, or would you, or if you had a park hopper, would you park hop them? Or,
well, and that, now that's another question. If you have park hoppers, what's your theory? I personally always fast pass the second park.
Fast pass the second park. Yeah,
agree. So like extra magic hour the first park, or early morning the first park with no, and then if you wanted to jump over, then have your three fast passes over at Hollywood Studios or something where Toy Story and the rest of them are booked up and you can get on.
I think it might be a good game plan if you were going to park hop, have it in a park that has extra magic hour, and then do your three fast passes in that park. And then you could go to another park that has, like the Magic Kingdom, that has lots of attractions. So your chances of getting additional fast passes would be good. So you've used up your three over at Animal Kingdom. Now you're going to Magic Kingdom, and you could possibly get more Fast Passes.
But I don't think I've ever seen a Fast Pass after the three that is worth even getting versus just go standing
in
line.
I mean, it would have to be a very rare.
Yeah, but something like Haunted Mansion has been available.
I have to say that Buzz Lightyear would probably be the closest, and Buzz moves so fast that it's not even worth, like Lauren said, you're standing in line for 30 minutes to get that fast pass.
Yeah, it's practically an Omnimover ride system on that.
What is going to be awesome is, you know, they're going to do it. I mean, they've opened up a fourth fast pass, although you can't choose it. They just give it to you during busier times. It would be great if you could get like between 4 and 6 fast passes a day.
Have you seen?
That would make me happy.
Have you seen recent in the news? Disneyland is testing.
Oh gosh!
Yeah,
so
I saw it.
They're testing at Space Mountain, and we're going to be there in a couple weeks. So we'll see if the testing is still going on. But they're testing paper fast pass with the touch, little Mickey ear thing, or, you know, that lights up. So instead of the cast member reading it and making sure it's valid, you still have the paper fast pass, and you're just touching it. You're scanning the barcode. Actually,
I think if they introduce
the Magic Band
pass at Disneyland the way they have at Walt Disney World, they're going to push away a lot of their locals.
Yeah,
it's not a great system. It works sometimes. It works about half the time. And you have to reserve so far in advance. People who really do go into the parks on a weekend on a whim aren't going to go reserve fast passes through an app.
The only thing that's nice about it that I saw was it's not like the Disneyland system. At least the testing isn't. So it's still the paper tickets, and you're still getting the paper tickets like you do. But instead of the cast member looking at it, you're just touching it the barcode to the thing, and then it's lighting up green or lighting up red. So at least it's just another way to validate it. And then if it lights up red, the cast member looks at it and says, oh, this is expired, or this is from 3 days ago, or it's not within the window or whatever. So as long as they keep it that way, I'm good with it. But if they switch it over to, you know, the same reserving rides and all that for mostly annual pass holders, those people are going to get upset, I think.
So that kind of covers times and how to use a hopper. So that's what I wanted to put in the end. Any other last-minute thoughts on fast passes? All right, meeting adjourned. That's how it feels. Anyway, I'll go ahead and wrap up the show. I'd like to thank PixieVacations.com for sponsoring our podcast. Don't forget to contact our Pixie agents to help you with your travel agent travel needs. And if you like our shows, you can go to iTunes or to mousechat.net and download them there. If you have any comments or questions for us, please send those to us at comments@mousechat.net. Thank you so much for listening. Please join us again next time on Mousechat.